Well, we're still in the Psalms today, so if you'd like to turn with me to Psalm 67, we'll be looking at. Psalm 67. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May the Lord be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the many different kinds of blessings that you give, and especially the blessing of yourself, of knowing you in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us more in your word, even now. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The children can be dismissed now for creche, and that's just going to be in the room behind the old room that we used to use for creche. So just the room back here. Well, Psalm 67 is a prayer for blessing, which is a theme in the Psalms. In fact, the very first word in the book of Psalms is blessed. We saw that a few weeks ago. Trevor was preaching on Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who meditates on God's law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Blessed is that person. So this is a theme through Psalms. This is a theme through Scripture. And blessing, certainly blessed, is a nice word. It's a wonderful reality. This morning, we especially celebrate the blessing of baby Carol being born. What an amazing blessing that is. And we obviously apply the word blessing to something like that. There are times, however, in the Bible where the word blessing is applied to things maybe a bit more surprising. Like Jesus says in Matthew 5, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. That doesn't fit our normal definition of blessing, of what we're asking for when we ask for a blessing. Or when we see James 1, James says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. I mean, when we think of blessings, we tend to think of the nice things and comfortable things, happy families and friends and a place to live and enough money to pay the bills, maybe a little bit extra, something like that. Those are all wonderful blessings. But the idea of blessing in the Bible is actually much bigger than those things. That's why Jesus can talk about even us being blessed in the midst of insults and trials and things like this, because God knows that there are bigger blessings, greater blessings than just the stuff that we get, and possessions and property, even greater than health and security. There are deeper blessings. There are better ones. We got a taste of that last week. We looked at Psalm 63. We saw how David was himself in a terrible situation. But rather than just longing for a return of his material blessings, his security, what he longed for was actually God himself. He said, I'm thirsty for God, like the desert is thirsty for the rain. He recognized that actually only God could satisfy his deepest longings, his needs. That God himself really is the real blessing, and everything else flows from him. So as we come to Psalm 67 then today, we'll see, we'll look at a bit more of how God blesses us, what he says these blessings are that are in this passage. And then also a bit of why God blesses. And we'll see that God's blessings aren't actually meant to end with us. They're actually meant to overflow out to others as well. So let's look at this, and we'll start with how does God bless us? There's a number of different blessings mentioned in this psalm. So let's think about them. Verse one starts off, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. That might sound familiar. It's almost word for word quote from the blessing that God gave the priest to say over Israel in the book of Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you. But this psalm is written to be a song for God's people to sing. So it's basically the people praying this, singing and praying this priestly blessing over themselves. And the first blessing they ask for, may God be gracious to us. May God be gracious to us. Well, why do God's people ask for grace as the first blessing? Well, think about it. I mean, if what would happen if we ask God for just the blessings that we deserve? Well, I mean, the Bible says that anyone who sins, actually what we deserve is God's just punishment, that the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says that we've all sinned. So this is, so what would happen if we just ask God for what we deserve? We would receive the just consequences for our sin. That's why the first request, the first blessing here is grace, asking God not to give us what we would deserve, but to give us something better, blessing. And when you think about it, every blessing that God gives begins with grace. Even life itself. I mean, what did we do to earn being alive in this place, on this planet? It is a gift. Life is a gift. Baby Carol was born. She didn't have a chance to do anything to earn that, but she was given life as a gift from God. And so same with all of us. We've been given life as a gift from God. It's a gift of his grace. Every breath we breathe, every sunny day, every ability that we have, everything we enjoy, all our strength to be able to do anything at all of it originates in God's grace. And that applies to Christians and non-Christians alike. Anyone who is alive has received this gift of God's grace. And certainly anyone who is not currently experiencing God's judgment for sin. We're experiencing his grace instead. Which means that all of us are experiencing a lot of grace every single day. But the full expression of God's grace is seen in how Jesus gave himself in our place on the cross to bear the judgment for sin that our sin deserved, to satisfy his own justice so that we could know his grace for eternity, so that his blessings would not be limited to our lifetimes here on earth, but that they could just be endless. Every person, all people who live experience God's grace. All people who live experience God's patience. But only those who accept Christ's gift of salvation from sin will experience that grace fully and forever, with never ending. So when we think about blessings and pray for blessings, we should start with the recognition that every blessing flows from the grace of God. God's grace is a blessing in itself. And it's the foundation of every other blessing that we receive. But it's not the only blessing that's mentioned here. Even in verse 1, there's another blessing, and that is the blessing of God's pleasure in his people. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. So this psalm is not just asking for God's grace, it is also asking for God's pleasure. And there is a difference. I mean, a bride can marry a groom that doesn't really deserve it. I know a little bit about that from experience. That is an expression of grace, you could say. But when people say that the bride's face is shining or that she is radiant, Everyone knows she's not just showing grace. She's actually taking pleasure. What a blessing, though, to know that God actually takes pleasure in his people. He takes pleasure in us. He makes his face shine upon us. Zephaniah says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Just think of the implications of that. We always think about us singing to God, but God singing over us in delight. I mean, if the God of the universe delights in us, then do we really need to try so hard to get the approval of other people? The cool crowd, I don't know, at school, or in the inner circle at work, or that group of people that just always seem to ignore you, whatever you do, or whatever it is. If God takes pleasure in you, if God sings over you, if God delights in you, you don't have to live for the approval of other people. That's a blessing that can give us confidence in every situation in life. It should give us solid ground to stand on. That in Christ, God takes pleasure in his people. So we have God's grace. We have God's pleasure in his people. Both blessings that I think, at least for myself, I rarely stop to think about. And thank God for these blessings. But both of these blessings change so much for us. Change everything for us, really. But the blessings don't end there. Look in verse 4. There's another blessing mentioned here. He says, "May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth." The blessing here is that God rules the nations of the earth as their true king. His rule is also a rule of equity. It is a rule of fairness and justice, actual justice and righteousness. And if you turn on the news, you'll see that's rare enough in our world. The human rulers of our world are not doing a great job with justice most of the time. And we long for it. We long to see fair, real, righteous justice to be the norm for the nations of the world. That's why it's so discouraging and maddening to watch the news so much. But the psalmist says it is a blessing to know that God is the ultimate judge. He is the King of Kings who actually rules the world above every human authority. We saw that a couple of weeks ago in Psalm 2, and how he will bring everything to account. He promises he will set all things right in equity, in justice. Perfect justice will be delivered by the true King. People may get away with all kinds of things right now, all kinds of injustices for a season, but they will not avoid accountability to God under his perfect justice. That's good news. It means that the universe will be set in proper order. It's also, it can be bad news as well, though, because it means that God will not simply be able to overlook our sin either. If his justice is perfect, then that means that every evil, selfish, self-justifying thought or word or action that I've ever done will need to be accounted for and will need to be dealt with under God's perfect justice. The only way for me to escape that, the judgment, the perfect, the righteous judgment of God, is the blessing of God's grace that we saw in verse 1. The grace of God that ultimately was won for us in Jesus Christ, who took the punishment for us, for our sin, who satisfied God's justice for us by paying the price himself. So that God, because God could not just ignore our sin, but he could pay the price for us. And he did, to bring forgiveness, to bring new life to anyone who puts their trust in him. Verse 4 also says that God guides the nations. He revealed himself. He has revealed himself to the world in many different ways. Well, I mean, one is just in the creation itself, but also in his word and ultimately in Jesus Christ. He came to our world himself. He has shown the nations what is good and what is right. He has guided the nations. He has revealed his ways to us. He's shown us what it means to be a human, what we're made for. The only question then is whether we follow his guidance and submit to his authority over us and have the joy of living under his righteous rule as we're made to live, or whether we resist his authority, like the nations so often do. As Psalm 2 said, the nations rage against God, and yet God will establish his king on his throne. So for those who come to Jesus, God's rule over the nations actually is a blessing. No matter how crazy the world gets, nothing can take that blessing away from God's people. God is establishing his kingdom, and that fact can make us be glad and sing for joy, no matter how crazy this world can be, because we know he will right all that is wrong. He is working. He is establishing his righteous kingdom even now. And all things will work together for the good of those who are in Christ, as he has promised. That's a blessing. But there's more. There's another blessing in verse 6. And that is that God provides for his people. The land yields its harvest, and God, our God, blesses us. And I think when we think of blessings, this is usually the first thing that comes to mind. God providing food to eat and resources that we need to live on. The harvest that sustains us. Even if we're not farmers, I mean, you get this is God's blessing of the abundance of the things that we need. We saw already that every breath, every bite that we have, everything is a gift of God's grace. God's provision is a blessing. And it's a blessing even when it comes through ordinary means, like the land just growing its harvest like it usually does. That's not a blessing from the land only. That is a blessing from God who made the land to provide in that way. And I would say that most of the blessings that God gives us, often we tend to take them for granted simply because he gives them so often through such normal, kind of ordinary ways and means. So we just kind of get used to them and we just kind of expect them. That's what the land does. It grows a harvest. But God is blessing us through that. He designed the world to work this way in order to bring the blessings that we depend on to us. And I think it's really good for us to stop sometimes and just remember how God is providing in so many different ways constantly for us, all the time. Maybe even just sit down and make a list of all the just ordinary things that God is doing today in your life, all the blessings that he is putting on you right now. We tend to take so many of them for granted and just focus on maybe the things that we don't have that we want. And ignore all the things that God is giving us, even right now. And I think we should take note as well that these blessings that we've mentioned here, really, they have more to do with God than they do with us. I mean, God is the one who is gracious. God is the one who is loving. God is the one taking pleasure in his people. God is the just ruler over everything. God is the provider of our needs. So yes, all these blessings they do lead to very good results for us. But the point is not really us. All these blessings really should draw our attention to the one that gives them, which moves us to the next question. Not just how does God bless us, but why? Why does God bless us? We looked already at verse 4, and again, and so there's a bit here again. I want to point out verse 4 and 5. He says that God's blessings help us to be glad and have joy in the Lord, and also to bring praise to him. Verse 4, may the nations be glad and sing for joy. Verse 5, may the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. So God's goal is not just to make us happy with the blessings that he gives. He wants more than that, for us to be happy in him. To find our joy, not in the blessings, but in God himself. Sometimes, I give Jessica Flowers. And I hope that she likes them. But I don't want her to fall in love with the flowers and just start ignoring me, right? That's not the point. The flowers are there to show my love, just like God's blessings show his love and show his care for us. But sometimes I think with God's blessings, in a sense, we kind of stick our nose in the flowers. We stick our nose in the blessings and we start to forget about the one that actually gave them to us. Sometimes even when we do remember that they're from God, our response is more like just to ask God for more blessings and more blessings, not to actually turn and to get to know and love the one who gave the blessings. But that's not what blessings are for. The blessings should draw our attention to God himself as the one who is gracious, who is loving, who is just and ruling, who is providing, the one who is the giver of good gifts. The real blessing is not the things that God gives. The real ultimate blessing is God himself. And when we find in him, in God, the joy above all other joys that are possible, our natural response then will be to praise him. As in verse 5, may the people praise you. May all the people praise you. Just as we praise anything that's wonderful, anything we find joy in, we want to post pictures or we want to share that joy with others. And we talk about sports teams that are really good or something like that. But if we find surpassing joy above all other things, we'll want to share that joy with others by praising the Lord. And in fact, I think this is one of the big themes in this psalm, that God's blessings don't just help us to find our own joy in God. They also help us to point the whole world to him. God blesses his people to make us glad and joyful in him, to bring him praise, but also to show himself to the world. Verse 2, so that your ways may be known on the earth. Bless us so that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. So the psalmist here is asking God to bless his people, not just so that they can know God better and find joy in him, but also so that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. So God's blessings are not actually just to draw us closer to God. They can do that. They're also intended to show the world more about who he is. So the psalmist wants others to experience God the way he has. He wants the whole world to know God's love like he does. But that means that we can't just like take credit for God's blessings ourselves. This is not about us building up our own personal reputations of goodness or holiness or something like that. Like people would say, oh, those people are really good and that's why God blesses them. No, not really. Because God's blessings should actually clearly show your salvation among all nations. So when the world sees us, actually they should clearly see that we are people in need of a Savior, but also that we are people who have found a Savior. They should see God's grace at work in our lives. Not our own worked up goodness, but God's goodness displayed in his strength. So once again, it's really not about us. The blessings of God's grace and love and justice and provision should all really point the world to see more of who God really is. To see that God is the real source, that God is the one, the real blessing himself. So when they see that God can save us and bless us with himself, with his love and his pleasure and his and all that he gives, then they can see that God can save them and bless them in the same way as well. Verse 3, may the peoples praise you, God. May all the people praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. And then verse 7, may God bless us still so that the ends of the earth will fear him. The blessings God gives us should point others to the source of blessing himself, which is God himself. They should point the world to seeing that God is not just the one that gives us nice things, but really that God is the great blessing himself. So even when we're in hard times, even when we're experiencing difficulties and losses, we can actually still experience the blessing of God's grace, of God's love, of his rule, of his provision. And we can still show the world that God is our strength and our joy, that he is himself the great blessing, even when other things are going wrong. And I think sometimes when the other temporary blessings are taken away, that's actually when the world sees more clearly than ever in our lives that God is our sustainer. I mean, the world already knows what money can do. They know about those kinds of blessings and what they can accomplish. But when they see God giving us peace and joy, even when we don't have the other blessings, I mean, that can make a very big impression. God's grace, God's favor, his love, his provision can come out in a lot of different ways. He will always be with us, but these blessings are not only for us. This is for the whole world. God's presence, God's peace in our lives. They can be an example to others. They can give them a view of the great blessing that God himself is above every other possible blessing. So this is not just about the blessings that God gives people materially. It is really about the great blessing of knowing God, of experiencing his love and his care in our lives, and the joy of coming close to our Creator. God wants that blessing for us. He wants us to have that joy, but he wants it for everyone around us as well, right out to the entire world. So the question is for us, are we more interested in knowing and loving God, or are we really more interested in just getting something out of God that we can use for our own purposes, that we can find joy in without needing him or thinking that we need him? Even good blessings can become bad if we put them in God's place. I mean, it's good to love God's blessings. They're made to be enjoyed. They're given to be enjoyed. But it's not good to make those blessings our highest love instead of God, or think that they can bring us the satisfaction that only he can. So I think really a big test of what you love most is whether or not you're willing to let God actually just take away his other blessings. I mean, if you can't imagine your life without a particular blessing that God gives, if you can't imagine loving God unless he gives you what you want or lets you keep what you want, that might be a good sign that God's blessings are taking up too much space in your heart, pushing God himself to the side. His blessings are wonderful. His blessings are given to be enjoyed. But really, the real blessing is always God himself. Nothing else will be able to satisfy us. But if you're seeking God this morning as the one great blessing above all others, remember that the blessing of knowing and loving God and experiencing his love and care in your life, it's not meant to end with you. It is always meant to overflow out of you, out to everyone around you, so that the nation, so that everyone can be glad and sing for joy in the Lord. God has blessed us with his grace, with his love and pleasure, with his rule over the nations, with his provision. But how can we, how can you, this week, bless others by reflecting those blessings out to other people around you? The blessing of God's grace. How can we extend that to other people? How can we show forgiveness to someone who's done wrong? Or maybe it could be responding with kindness to someone who is not kind to you, showing the blessing that we have received of God's grace out to people around us. Maybe we could show the blessing of God's love and pleasure by going out of our way to encourage someone who's just feeling down, or trying to notice and point out the good that someone has done and celebrate it. Maybe you could show the blessing of God's justice by giving people a fair chance, even if they're awkward people that other people want to ignore, and you give them a hearing, you hear them out. You treat them fairly. You could show God's provision by noticing the needs around you, taking care, doing what you can to actually meet those needs. And there's so many ways that we can take the blessings that God has given us and reflect them and pour them out into others' lives as well. And I would say to you that part of the joy of God's blessings is actually the joy of overflowing, of sharing them. God loves to give. He finds great delight in giving. And he wants us to experience that joy. And he gives us the opportunity not just to receive his blessings, but also to share them, to give them out to others, to freely give as we have freely received from him. And there's a great joy in that. And how will people know that we've experienced God's grace, that we've experienced his love and his, we find comfort in his rule over everything and in his provision, unless we're willing to take from those blessings and share with others? We are blessed. We are blessed more than we usually realize. We are not only blessed for ourselves. We are blessed to be a blessing to others as well, so that God's ways will be known on the earth and the nations will be glad and sing for joy in him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the many, many rich blessings that you have given. And above all of the blessings that you give, Lord, just the blessing of being able to know you, to call you our Father, our Savior, our friend. Lord, bring us close. We do pray for more of these blessings, for your grace, for your love and your pleasure in us, for your provision. We thank you for the blessing of your justice and rule over all things, that you will keep every promise that you have ever made. You have blessed us in so many, so richly, with so many more blessings than we account for, Lord. We thank you for all of them. We thank you especially for Jesus Christ. And we thank you for bringing us back into your presence as your own children. And Lord, we pray that you would help our lives to reflect these blessings out to the world so that they could rejoice, so that they could be glad and sing for joy in knowing you and experiencing these blessings that you've given to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll leave you with the blessing that God gave for the priest to say over his people. In number 6, it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Amen. Amen.